You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Last week, we started teaching on the favor of God, the grace of God and the favor of God. You know, a lot of people don't realize that favor and grace are the same thing. Even in Hebrew, the word translated grace and favor is the same word. And in New Testament, in Greek, it's no different. In fact, the Greek word translated grace is charis. Often, I always like to say that because we're referred to as charismatic. You know, we're a charismatic church. And they say that because we believe in the gifts. You know, 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the gifts of grace or the gifts of the Spirit, that charismata is what it's called. And so we're called charismatic often. But actually, everybody, every Christian, every believer in Jesus Christ, in the strictest, purest sense of that word, is charismatic, because matikos is the Greek word for operates, and charis is the Greek word for grace. And so, like you'd have an automatic, something operates by itself, autos, or pneumatic, that's wind or air or breath. Pneumatic tools operate by wind. Okay, so we're charismatic, we operate by grace. Amen. That's what the strictest little sense of that word means. But they use that because 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the gifts and calls them gifts of grace. But incidentally, we're all charismatic. Amen. I hope you operate by grace. Are you out there? Amen. But grace, charis, is also translated favor. Where you see favor in the New Testament, that's where the word comes from. There's no difference in those words. And a lot of people don't realize that. In fact, if you have your Bibles, turn to Luke 1. Hallelujah. Anybody want to get in God's good graces? I know I do. You know, they tried all through the Old Testament to get in God's good graces. But they never could, because grace didn't come from the law. The law actually is opposite of grace. Grace is unmerited favor. You might say it this way. If you took a coin and called it love... Everybody say love? What's love got to do with it? Everything. On one side is grace, and on the other side is mercy. Mercy is when you don't get what you do deserve. Right? Somebody's merciful to you, and they don't give you what you really deserve. We cry for mercy. We lay ourselves on the mercy of the courts, and sometimes hoping we don't get what we deserve. We are guilty. We're not pleading our case. We're just pleading guilty, and we're trying to get some mercy. That's when you don't get what you do deserve. Grace is what you do get, what you don't deserve. That's good, isn't it? Because we got saved, we're going to heaven, our sins are forgiven, and we didn't deserve it, and that was just the grace of God. We didn't go to hell, and we didn't have to pay for our sins, which we did deserve. That's the mercy of God. So grace is something bestowed on us. It's some favor that's been given to us, and all of us need favor. I need the favor of God. I mean, favor opens doors. I dare say most of us here today, most of us have jobs today, probably got that job through favor, through someone you knew, some relative, some friend. Someone put in a word for you, or, you know, you had favor. Now, there's other ways to get jobs, I understand. But you cannot take that out of the equation. And it's not what you know that's going to get you to heaven. It's who you know that's going to get you to heaven. You can know all there is to know about the Bible, but if you don't know Jesus, not going to get in. You got to have, someone's going to have to speak for you. Someone's going to have to stand for you. Someone's going to have to vouch for you. And thank God he did. His name is Jesus. He favored us, as it were. You know, we're going to hear a lot about this little story coming up next month. And that's the time of year we celebrate the birth of Christ, birth of Jesus. That's when God became a man, Emmanuel, God with us. That's when the Master came into the manger, when the Creator was in a crib. Hallelujah. You know, we often forget that. We don't really worship, incidentally, a little baby. That took place. He was born, no question. But he didn't stay a baby. And we don't worship just a good man. He was good. He was a great man. He never sinned. He lived holy, and he was a great teacher. We don't worship a great teacher. He was a great teacher. He was all that. But the Bible tells us that God visited us in Jesus, that God became a man. And what we worship really is not even a Christ on the cross. Oftentimes we see those crucifixes and Jesus is hanging on a cross. It's a good reminder, but I think a better reminder is an empty tomb. Yeah. Are you out there? Yep. He had to go through the cross. He had to go through the crucifixion before he got the crown. I know that. I understand that. And we preach the cross in that sense. But we don't worship a baby. We don't worship a sinless man. We don't worship a great teacher. We don't worship a martyr, someone who gave his life. We worship Jesus, who rose victorious from the grave, conquered hell, death, and the grave, conquered sin, took the keys of hell and death away from the devil, arose victorious, and sat down on the right hand of God, making good your redemption and my redemption. We worship a conqueror. We worship a warrior. We worship one who paid the price for our sins, who was born in that manger, who did live that sinless life. But, you know, as I say often, we didn't need a better teacher. There's a lot of good teachers out there, although he was the greatest there ever was. We didn't need a better teacher. We didn't need a better guide to guide us along life's way. We didn't need a better example to follow. You know, there are other religious leaders that are good examples and that we could follow, and some good teaching in a lot of religions, but that's not what we needed. We needed a Savior to save us from our sins. That's something Buddha never did. That's something Muhammad never did. But Jesus came to die, hallelujah, and conquered death and hell in a process and rise again victorious on the other side of the grave. Amen. And the tomb is empty. And we won. Woo! But this little story here, you know, it took place. It really did, a place and time. When the fullness of time was come, Paul said, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem us who were under the law. And it says here in the first chapter of Luke, have you found it? Notice in the 26th verse. Now in the sixth month of Elizabeth, her cousin Elizabeth, remember Zacharias and Elizabeth? Well, Elizabeth was going to give birth to John the Baptist, first Baptist. That usually gets a little more response. That's okay. Y'all will get the CD. Y'all laugh at some of this stuff later, you know. You know, he had the same middle name as Kermit the Frog. But anyway, am I going to have to spell this out for you? I mean, come on. So John, his mother Elizabeth, was 6 months with child. That's what it says. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin, a betrothed, or espoused, or, you know, promised, engaged, as it were, to a virgin betrothed, or espoused to a man named Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Highly favored one. That's interesting, because that comes from the word caress. Favored one. Highly graced one. That's what he was saying. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Wow. Now that kind of gives you a little bit of an idea. Of course, we talk about grace in a redemptive sense, you know, in the sense that we're saved and we can't work our way to heaven, can't be good enough to go to heaven. All that's true, and I believe that without a doubt. By grace you're saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast, not of yourself. Amen. It's the work of God. It's impossible with men, but it's possible with God. But I don't think we hear that word so much and so often in those terms that we don't really think of it in a broader sense, that God is favoring us. We get the word favorite from that. We have favorite things, you know, favor. God does have favorites. He really does. Everyone in Christ is His favorite. He favors all those in Christ. He favors everyone in Jesus. God graced Mary. You know, Mary gave birth to Jesus. Gave birth to the man, the human part of God. God is a great mystery. God visited us and God became a man. And Mary was the mother of that man part. God had always existed, always lived. He was the Ancient of Days. His goings forth had been from everlasting to everlasting. Micah 5:2 tells us that. It says, "O Bethlehem of Judah, thou art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel, whose going forth have been from everlasting to everlasting." The Ancient of Days, that's Jesus, before he was born in the earth. So God picked out Mary. My goodness, of all people he could have picked out to raise Jesus. I'd say that's favor. Are you with me? And for throughout eternity, you know, Mary will have a special place in that sense. You know, there's a lot of debate, you know, between Protestants and Catholics about Mary and, you know, and do we reverence her too much on one side, not enough on the other, whatever the case. I always look at it this way. You know, God chose her. She must have been special. He graced her. He favored her. He didn't pick just anybody out to take care of his kid. No more than you would. I don't say that disrespectfully. I'm just saying that think about the context of it. Think about it in your house. What would you do? And so he chose her to raise his son. And you're never going to gain any ground talking to anybody about their mama. So don't go there. She's blessed. Are you with me? And forever will be honored, you know, in eternity because of that. But we're saved through Jesus Christ. We know that. That she gave birth to the Savior. Hallelujah. Amen. They named him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. But to choose her over everybody else, out of all the people in the world, to choose her, that was favor. Highly favored. Graced, as it were. Right here, that word is charis, grace, the same word. Now turn over to John, thinking about that and what took place here. Ooh, hallelujah. John, the first chapter. I hope you're paying attention, taking notes, listening to the scriptures. Now this is just, of course, an awesome chapter about the beginning of God, which had no beginning. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. That's always real significant when you look at Jesus' genealogy. Matthew gives his genealogy through Joseph, who wasn't even his daddy. He didn't even come through Joseph. He came through God and then came through Mary. Luke gives his genealogy through Mary, which is the right one. That's the one that, you know, Heli was her daddy. And so that's the right one. Naturally came through the tribe of Judah. He was the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Woo! Hallelujah. And he was the Lamb. He's the Lion and the Lamb. He's the Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world. So Luke gives us the genealogy of his mother. And Matthew actually gives us just the genealogy of Joseph, which really wasn't Jesus. It does interconnect if you go far back enough. We're all related if you go back to Noah. Anyway. Okay. All right. So, you know, if you go back far enough, that's true. Mark doesn't give a genealogy because he comes on, he's like a servant. I mean, he's healing the sick, casting out devils, first chapter, right off the bat. So it doesn't even give a genealogy. It's just he's a servant. In Matthew, he's like the king, you know. In Luke, he's the man, human side of Jesus. And then in Mark, he's the servant. There's the ox. And then in John, he's like the more references to the Spirit of God, he's like the eagle. You know, you've got the Lion of the tribe of Judah in Matthew. He's the king. And you got Mark. He's the servant of the ox. And then Luke, you got the man. That's when we find out about him being a little child and growing up in the temple and talking to the people in the temple. And then in John, you have the eagle. So there's the four living creatures that surround the throne. When you think about it, they surround the glory of God. And they all symbolize Christ. There's no question there. But there's no genealogy in Mark. But now you get to his genealogy as God or the Spirit life, the life of the Spirit in John. It's interesting. It just says in the beginning was the Word. That's it. No genealogy. It didn't say he was the son of this, son of that, son of that. It just says he in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with him. Without him was not anything made. It was made. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. Hallelujah. And then it says, in the 14th verse, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. Think about that. The Word became flesh. All those prophecies that have been prophesied from Genesis all the way to Malachi, all those prophecies and all those foreshadowings and all those types and shadows and the feast and the Passover and the unleavened bread and first fruits and all those things. See, Jesus is our Passover. He was the water that came out of the rock when Moses hit that rock and water came out. He was the manna that came down from heaven. All those were pictures, just types and shadows. And boy, when the fullness of time came, God sent forth His Son made of a woman, made under the law to redeem us. And what He was the Word become flesh. It all came together in Him. See, Jesus didn't bring us a message. Jesus is the message. He always has been the message. And He comes along, and what He does is something a little different than the law, something we don't hear about in the law, something we never get from the law, something we can't earn, something we can't work for. What He comes along and does and brings to us is a thing called grace. Favor. They've been trying to get that all their lives. None of the prophets could get it. You could keep all the laws and couldn't get it. You could do all the sacrifices and couldn't get it. Grace came through Jesus Christ. Favor, you want to get in God's good graces, there's only one way to do that. And this message we preach today, this gospel, it's a gospel of favor. It's a message of favor. God has shined down on us. He has smiled upon us. He has turned His gaze and attention on us. Heaven has kissed earth, and we got caught in the middle of the smack. Hallelujah. And Jesus, well, Jesus is that smack, I guess you'd say. It says here, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth.
Amen.
Full of favor. Of all the people in the world, pick Mary. Wow, what are the odds of that? You know, that's just got to be over the top when you start figuring the odds on something like that. But then God sent Jesus to grace us all.
Yeah.
To favor us all. To pick us all out.
Hallelujah.
You know, and say, I have favored you now. You know, when you grew up, you always wanted to get in those inner circles. You know what I'm talking about. You might have been kids and you want to get in that in group, whatever that group was. Whatever your age is, there was a group you wanted to be a part of. You know that. And then you get a little older, it's probably not a lot different. You always want to be in that group, or you get in town, you want to get in that group. And if it's political, you want to get in that group. We're always trying to get in all these circles, you know. We're trying to gain favor getting those circles. And generally, we have to change our life to do that. Isn't that true? You got to become like them, do what they do, say what they say, talk like they talk, and so on. You ever notice people that have a certain, you know, someone they worship, whether it's a rock star or an actor or whatever, they start looking like them, you know. Start dressing like them, talking like them. Hey, everybody, you beautiful people, you know. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Elvis, you know. In that day and age, you know, people did that because they loved Elvis. They worshiped Elvis. They wanted to be in that, you know, in that circle. And you see kids doing it today. It's no different. It doesn't change. Everybody thinks they got something new, but it's been going on forever. But God made a way for all of us to get in His circle.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And we count. Every one of us count. Every one of us are important. Every one of us have been graced and favored. Hallelujah. There's no A rate, B rate. We're all the same here. He loves us all the same. Because of what Jesus did. He has graced us and He has favored us. And you could never get that through the law. And you could never be good enough to earn that. And you couldn't go to church enough to get that. And you couldn't pray enough to get that. Couldn't read your Bible enough to get that. Oh, I believe in church. I believe in reading your Bible and I believe in praying. I believe in living holy. I believe it's not about impressing anyone. We don't have to impress God or anybody else. But we do need to represent God. I believe we're here to represent, not to impress. But see, I'm going to heaven because I've been graced. God hears my prayer because I've been favored. God blesses me. Blessings just come on me and overtake me. If I trust Him, if I believe Him, obviously, you know, He'll grace me. He'll favor me. And you and I need to be believing for that. We are special. We are a peculiar people, Peter says. One translation says a peculiar people, a royal priesthood. Hallelujah. And if you're going to serve God, you're going to be a little peculiar in this world, that's for sure. We're in the world, but we're not of it. But you know what? We've got God's hand on us. We have His favor on us. Ever since Jesus came, He's graced us. Hallelujah. By grace, I'm saved. By grace, I exist. By grace, I go through the day. By grace, I'm protected. By His grace, I'm provided for. By His grace, I have health. By His grace, I have purpose. I've been favored. Somebody does love me. Somebody does care about me. You know, people want to be cared for. They want to be heard and they want to be understood and they want to count and they want to know they're needed. I think it's the same with everybody. I don't care who you are, how old you are. You want to be heard. You want to be understood. And you want to be needed and, you know, you want to be cared for. You want to be recognized, as it were. Who doesn't? It's innate in us. All of us have that. But the thing is, that'll never, ever be fulfilled completely till you get to Jesus, because He's the only one that really, really cares. He's the only one that always hears you. He's the only one that knows you count, understands you, and get this, this will blow you away, needs you. He does. He needs you. He needs you to live for Him. He needs you to speak up for Him. He needs you to raise your children right. He needs you to honor your parents. He needs you to live right in the workplace. He needs you to shine your light. You are the body of Christ and members in particular. And He has graced you and favored you for that intent and that purpose. Woo! Man. Good stuff. Amen? So grace is larger than just the salvation experience. You know, we often think of, I'm just saved by grace, and that's kind of the way we look at it. But it's larger than that. It's so much bigger than that. You know, 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, talks about, we don't have to turn there, talks about the grace of giving. The grace comes on us to prosper us. Grace comes on us for many reasons, the favor of God. I need favor in a lot of areas in my life. How about you? That's one thing I pray for every day. I pray for wisdom and favor. Wisdom and favor. In office, when we get together, we first off thank God for the opportunity to serve Him, and because it is a privilege. It's an honor to be a part of what God's doing. I mean, okay, I'll get through this. Man up. I remember when I was lost. I remember when I didn't know the Lord. I remember the life I lived. And He graced me. I called on His name and He saved me. And I was just happy to be saved. Goodness gracious. When God called me to teach, I didn't want to teach. I was just happy to be saved. Come on, I'm going to heaven. Hallelujah. And I was telling everybody about it. I was really excited about it, you know. But then He called me to teach, and I didn't feel worthy to do that. I backed up and finally accepted, you know, and did that. And then He called me to pastor, and I backed up on that deal too. And I've always kind of crawfished on things, you know, because, you know, we don't have the confidence in ourselves that God has in us. We really don't. We talk about believing in God, but God believes in us more than we believe in ourselves. And He definitely believes in us more than we believe in Him. And so I'm always just thankful, and I always like to say that when we pray, especially, you know, with the staff when we get together in the morning, we'll say, you know, God, thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for this privilege of serving you today and being a part of what you're doing. That, you know, God could use anybody, used us. God could ask anybody, but He asked you, you know. I mean, don't back up when God asks you to do something, asks you to pray for someone, to go see someone, go forgive someone, wherever the case may be. He could ask anybody, but He asked you. Wow. That's pretty cool. I mean, really, think about it. I mean, He actually wants me to do something for Him. That's why He doesn't mind doing things when we ask Him. Because He's always asking us to do things. There's a relationship here. He loves us. He's for us. And so, you know, once we get past that point of being honored and privileged to be a part of what He's doing, and I am honored to be here. I tell you what, this is not a job to me. This is not a job. Never has been. Never will be. This job of pastoring, it's not a job to me. It's a calling, and it's an honor, and it's a gift. And I'm not preaching to you and ministering to you just out of my intellect and just out of my eloquence. You know, I hope you don't walk out here and say, oh, man, he had such a great delivery, or he was such a great speaker, or he was so cool. I know I am. I mean, I hope you don't walk out saying that. I hope you said, man, I sensed the presence of God. I felt God pulling me toward Him. I felt the anointing of God in that place. In the worship and the praise and the word and all that was said. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to get more serious about serving God. God really cares about me. He really loves me. I hope you walk out of here getting that. Because we're all here doing His business, really. And you know, I'm not doing it just for Him. He's doing it through me. And you're not just doing something for Him. He's doing something through you. He just wanted you to stand up and say, okay, here I am, send me, you know. So we're privileged and honored. And then I pray, and it took a long time to get to that point. I pray that we have favor today, that we have favor in who we talk to and favor in all that we do, that God's favor and His hand will be upon us. Moses said this right before God showed His glory to him in the cleft of that rock. God said, I want you to take these people out and do this and that. And Moses said, Lord, if Your presence doesn't go with us, He says, if Your presence doesn't go with us, I don't want to go. Yeah. God said, I will go with you. I will go with you. Because we're not on our own here. I'm sorry for being a blubber baby this morning. I don't know what happened. Don't worry, got enough sleep last night or what happened. But anyway, God is with us. He has graced us. He has favored us. You are not alone. You haven't been alone a day in your life since you got saved. He's been there for you, and He'll be there for you tomorrow. He'll be through. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what crisis you're facing. I don't know what tragedy you're up against, because life's full of tragedy and crisis. I understand that. We're in a broken, fallen world, but you are not alone.
Amen.
You may not think you can make it, but you can. He's there to comfort you and grace you and favor you. His hand is upon you. I've felt it many times, His arms wrapped around me, helping me, strengthening me, helping me get up and go another day. You know, hallelujah. Thank God for the grace of God. And it came through Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus is all about grace. God's not the big ogre with a stick. He's not the policeman in the sky that's writing the tickets every time, you know, you break a law. God's a loving Father that cares for you, that's trying to get you back around. Yes, 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 He hates sin, but He doesn't hate you. He doesn't like when you sin, but He likes you. He loves you. And He's always standing out there in the road like that prodigal son's dad, looking down that road, waiting for his son to come home. He's always waiting for you to come home. He's looking because He knows you can turn around any time, that there's hope for you. God's the one that never gives up on you when everybody else does. God will never forsake you. When you forsake yourself, when you don't even like yourself, God loves you.
Yeah. Amen.
Ooh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Because of grace, because of favor. I mean, I'm His favorite. I just, you know, my grandkids, they come in my house and they just take over. They just walk in and, you know, they sit down, they turn it to, I don't care what I'm watching, they put it on a cartoon or something. I've watched more kid movies since I've had grandkids. Man, watched them all. Gripe about it and sit there and smile with them and laugh with them the whole time, you know. Mikhail and Adeline will get in my lap and start messing my hair up and combing it and doing all kind of weird stuff with it. And I'm thinking, what are they doing? And I'm thinking, why am I letting them do it? And then I think, because I can't help it. And, you know, they just keep doing it. And the kids come in and raid the refrigerator and eat all the bananas up. We got to go buy more bananas. And... But I can guarantee you they didn't earn that. They're my grandchildren. I love them, and they know that. And I love my children, and they know that. And, you know, there's a favor there that comes from. There's a grace that's on them. I mean, if some little kid just run in my house, I didn't know, and got in my refrigerator. Are you kidding me? No, 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 no. They don't have my favor, okay? They don't have my grace. But they're my children, so that's, they're my grandchildren, so that means something. We just got this whole concept wrong. I hope you had a good daddy. I don't know. Maybe you did, maybe you didn't. But I think sometimes we have, maybe had a rough childhood and a rough family. And we kind of lay that over on God. But see, God's not that way. He's so much better than any earthly father you ever had. And maybe you've been abused. I don't know. You know, there's a lot of wrong things that go on in the world. A lot of hurtful things go on in the world. But you have been brought into another family now. You've been brought into the family of God. And God now is your father. And it takes a lifetime to figure all this out. And I don't think we ever do. We get to heaven and it starts coming more alive, I think, when we get there. But God cares about us, and He believes in us, and He loves us, and He has favored us, and He has graced us, hallelujah. And Jesus was proof of that. Jesus went around healing the sick and raising the dead and casting out devils and stopping storms and giving to the poor and helping people. Jesus did not go around, you know, fining people and condemning people and killing people and all the things we often think of God doing. I believe in judgment. I think there's judgment for our sin. But God does not delight and takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God wishes that all men would be saved and go to heaven. And He really cares about you. He wants you to make it more than you want to make it yourself. God has graced you and favored you through Jesus Christ. And that's the truth. The law may have came by Moses. That's what it goes on and says. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. You are never going to get the whole truth about God from the Old Testament. It's the Bible from Genesis to Malachi, the Old Testament. And it's the Bible from Genesis all the way to Revelation. I understand that. But you're never going to get the whole truth about God till you get to Jesus. Because grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The law came by Moses. What a strange way to say that. Was the law not the truth? Not the whole truth. Sure wasn't. It was not the whole truth about God. The law wasn't the truth about God anyway. The law was a standard of holiness that you could never meet. That's what the law was. The law basically said God is holy and you're not. Stick the fork in, you're done. The law basically said you got to have a Savior because you are never going to make it. The law made none righteous, the Bible says. But the bringing of a better hope did. Paul said if there had been a law that could have given eternal life, surely righteousness should have been by the law. But there wasn't one. The law brought us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. And so what we see in Christ is the truth about God. Man, I'll tell you what, you read some of those prophets. Oh my goodness, man. It's like Edgar Allan Poe. It is depressing. I mean, it was judgment on this city and judgment on that city and judgment on Judah and judgment on Israel. And they deserved it, no question, because it says because of their sins. They worship other gods and they brought it on themselves. I understand all that. But I mean, there's not a lot of grace there. You don't get that till you get to Jesus. But you and I are living in the age of grace. We're living in this grace period, this favor period. We ought to walk in it. Hallelujah. Walk in the favor of God. Hold your head up high. Hallelujah. Not proud in yourself, but favored by God.
Amen.
Blessed by God. Straighten up your act. Live right. Live holy. You can do it. Have you a good marriage. Don't you be another statistic. Don't you go under like everybody else. No, you go over. You just decide to fight and win. Don't give up. Don't throw the towel in. I don't know what you're going through. But get through it. Go through it. Stand up. Believe God. Trust God. Let God's favor come upon you.
Amen.
Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. And He makes a difference. 15th verse. Let me a couple verses here. We'll try to wrap this up. This helping you?
Yes.
I want to encourage you. I want to stir you. I want to shake you. I want to charge you and challenge you. I want to change you. You know, but it takes God to do that. So I'm going to do my part. And if you'll open up, let God do His part, you'll never be the same. We'll all walk out of here better than we walked in. Amen? Church should be a place like that where you're changed and challenged and charged and convicted. Yes, conviction's good. Condemnation's bad, but conviction's good. God doesn't condemn, He convicts.
That's right.
He gives hope. Come on, you can do better than that. You are better than that. You can overcome that. You can get free of that. You can live right. You can overcome that anger. You can forgive. You can do it. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You're more than a conqueror through Him that loved you. You got the victory through Christ. I always cause you to triumph in Christ. That's what He's saying to you. You know, He's saying that whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. You can do it through Him, the power of His might. That's conviction. You shouldn't have done that. You were wrong. Guilt is good for a period. I mean, it's good. But godly sorrow leads you to repentance. And when you repent, there's hope on the other side. God never takes hope out of the equation. Condemnation is hopeless. That's when you're worthless and you're no good. You've never done a good thing in your life. That's when you always mess up and you're worthless and nobody cares about you. And you can't seem to get it straight. But that's not what conviction is. Conviction is you can come out of this. I paid the price for that. The gate's open. What are you doing in the prison?
Amen.
I actually heard, and I know I've told it many times, I heard a preacher preach this. I actually heard him say this. He's a real famous preacher at one time. I'll tell you who it was. He was alfalfa, one of the alfalfas on the, remember the Little Rascals. He got saved, became a preacher. And he preached, there was two of them, but one of them in particular. He got saved, became a preacher, and preached in the Berkeley riots in the 60s. Remember on the colleges when all the campuses were riot? And he'd get up, and he would holler and scream at them. And I don't know how, but people would get saved. I never could understand it. But anyway, I heard him preach, not in the 60s, because, you know, I wasn't even born yet. Thou shalt not lie. That's one of the commandments in there anyway. Not under the law. But he got up and he preached and he said, I'm serious. I am not exaggerating. Y'all have heard me say this many times. He got up and he said, you hate your mama, you hate your papa, you never done a good thing in your life, but God loves you and I love you. God bless you, dirty, rotten little hearts. And I thought, whoa, okay, that'd slap you around and pull you back and hit you again, you know. But that's not really the way, you know, God does us. We may have done a lot wrong, but God really does care. Are you with me? He knows we're better than that. He knows we can come through that with Him, with His help. You know what's wrong with the world? They're not saved. That's what's wrong with them. You know what's wrong with people that are lost? They're lost. Anybody that got saved, man, I tell you what, I think of some of the worst sinners in the world. If they'd gotten saved, what they could have done for Jesus. What would Hitler have done if he'd gotten born again? Think about the influence that man had for evil. If he had gotten saved, accepted Jesus, become an evangelist. Whoa. That had changed everything. And Jesus does change everything because of His grace and His favor. All right, let me read on here. Hallelujah. I won't be preaching to you like that, okay? I'm going to talk about sin. Don't get me wrong. I think we need to talk about sin. We need to talk about how it's evil and it's wicked and it'll kill you and how it's wrong because I love you. I'm not going to stand up here and say homosexuality is good. It's not good. It's a sin. But I'm not going to stand up here and say we hate homosexuals. That's wrong too. Because a homosexual can get saved, and an adulterer can get saved, and a liar can get saved, and a gossiper can too. I just wanted to include everybody, okay? And anybody can repent. Y'all out there. Don't you? Now see, the world knows what we're against. Do they know what we're for? Do they know we're for them? I dare say not. I think most people think the church is just against all these things they're doing wrong. Well, we are against those things, but we're not against them. We're for them. Amen. We're not against the abortionist. Don't you go out and blow up an abortion. Are you kidding me? Go shoot an abortion doctor? That's not God. God didn't tell you to do that. God said, thou shalt not murder. That's wrong. But we're against abortion. But if you've committed one and had one or two or I don't know. You know what? You can repent. God will forgive you. We'll take you in. You can live for God. I got no stones to throw. I have no stones to throw here. I have a past too. Hello. I wasn't a homosexual. I just wanted to say that straight right now. But let me read on here. I'm going to get in trouble here. Okay. 15th verse, rather quickly. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Well, now he was born 6 months after Jesus. We just read that over there in Luke. But he was before him as God, right? And it says, and of his fullness we have all received, hallelujah, somebody, and grace for grace, favor for favor. It's that same word, favor, grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. I love that. Hallelujah. See, we've been ushered into the grace of God. You know, y'all hold your head up high. Quit looking, you know, like you've been baptized in a barrel of pickle juice or something, you know. I mean, a lot of churches you go to, they don't want you to get excited. They don't want you to smile and don't even act like you're enjoying yourself, you know. It's almost like we're doing penance every time we go to church, that we're having to pay for something, you know. Whew, man, got that over with. Got that now. And now next we've got to go again. No, you know what? Honestly, really, and that's the way I am. I'm serious about this. I love church. I love coming to church. I can't wait to get in here and worship and fellowship and get under the sound of the word, hallelujah, and see my brothers and sisters and get charged up for the week. Church is something we ought to look forward to. Church is a place we'll hear about the favor and the grace of God. We'll hear all the bad news all week long. Come down here and hear the good news. Hallelujah. You can make it. You count. You're somebody. God loves you. You got a future and a destiny and a hope. Hallelujah. God's on your side. If God be for you, who can be against you? Hallelujah. This is a place where you get refired and renewed and charged up. Hallelujah. It ought to be somewhere you look forward to coming to. You ought to walk out of church better than you came in. Hallelujah. Not continually looking at your watch, and it is 15 till, and I am going to quit. It's like that preacher said one time. He said, you know what it means when I look at my watch? He said, not a thing. Nothing. And that's probably about true. But we've been graced and favored, and we're living in an age of grace. You know, Paul said that we're in the dispensation or age or administration or stewardship or management. What is God doing today? We're living in an age or dispensation of grace. I love that. Dispensation of favor. You may not think anybody cares about you. You're wrong. You're wrong. God cares. He loves you. He's for you. You may think you don't have any influence in the world. You do. You've got the hand of God on you. Hallelujah. You've got a Father who made everything that is. He can get you indoors you never thought about getting into. He can get you through situations you never thought about getting through. You may be waiting for the Calvary to show up. Well, He's already showed up. He's already here. God. And He loves you. He cares for you. You're special to Him. If He had a wallet, your picture would be in it. If He had a refrigerator, Your picture would be on it. He gives you a sunrise every morning, gives you flowers every spring. Face it, my friend, he is crazy about you. He really is. He's favored us. He's graced us. And I don't always return that right. I don't always live that right. I don't always show that right. But there's no mistaking about this. God is crazy about me. Absolutely crazy. Left heaven, came to earth, and died. If I was the only one here, he'd have done it for me. If you were the only one here, he'd done it for you. There's an old song. It's an old gospel song. I don't remember the whole thing, but one of the lines says, "You were on his mind. When he was on the cross, you were on his mind." And that's the truth. He didn't come down here for him. Are you kidding me? What in the world did Jesus have to come down here for him? He was doing just fine. He was in heaven and in the heavenlies. Everything he went through. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, read the gospel stories. All the suffering, the persecution, and the death of the cross, and the resurrection, all that he went through. He did that for you. You're the only reason he came. He didn't have to do anything. He's God. But he did for you. He did that. Really loves you that much. Wow, that's favor, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, that is grace. That's the grace of Almighty God.